Newspapers, radio, and TV have carried many stories of child abuse, abduction, and murder, and the stories spill out against the background of commemorating the September 11th attacks, which left many children without parents. The world seems to be a more dangerous place for children. Continuing her Tuesday series, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg discusses protection for the young and how to provide it.
In Sweeney Todd, his dark masterpiece about brutalities in 19th century London, Stephen Sondheim wrote a song of reassurance and commitment.
Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you, no sir, not while I'm around. Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care, I got way.
Now, this is the kind of song a parent would sing to a child. But in Sweeney Todd, it's sung by a young man to a murderous maker of meat pies. Trust Stephen Sondheim to turn emotions upside down. These days, emotions of parents and their children are often in high gear, as stories of the dangers to young people, all the prowling demons of our day, raise questions about protection and safety. Those comforting words, nothing's going to harm you, not while I'm around, don't ring as true today, despite the best intentions of parents. Developmental psychologist Dennis Embry says a parent can no longer look a child in the eye and say, I won't let anything bad happen to you.
I'm not sure that that's the best thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
What's most important for us to communicate to our children is the illusion of safety in the world. That actually is what protects them the most and gives them the cognitive, emotional, and behavioral resiliency to survive the dangers that are posed by the world today. If children believe that they are safe in the world, that their parents, their teachers, their peers, all of the people are looking out after them, they are more competent.
Even if it is just an illusion? I mean, aren't parents supposed to be truthful with their children?
Truthful and creating competence are congruent, but how you do it. For example, in our research on children on being struck by automobiles, which is one of the top five causes of death for little kids, What we found was that if a parent said, you'll get squashed or killed, children didn't believe it because, generally speaking, children went into the street and their parents were made into liars, essentially. They went into the street and nothing bad happened. So if a parent says, look, there are a lot of bad people out there, and you'll get kidnapped, you'll get abused, you'll get hit, you'll get et cetera, and those things don't happen, you actually undermine the child's belief in your wisdom. So that's why we tell, why folk culture typically tells stories and parables about these things and rehearses competence so that the child is less likely to be engaged or entrapped by the perceived danger.
But talk a little about the words, too. If you can't say, I won't let anything bad happen, you could say, I promise that I will do everything I can to prevent anything bad from happening to you.
I think that's a fair statement. And part of that is by teaching your child how to discriminate real danger from false danger and to develop competencies to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the protection.
But, you know, a child goes to an airport and sees guys carrying rifles, increased security.
Well, let me explain how we handled that during the Gulf War with military children who were faced with this particular thing. In Germany, which was much different from the continental United States, the children were under considerable more distress and fear. And most of the adults tended to say, well, we need to reassure them. So the adults tended to dismiss the danger, to say, nothing bad is going to happen. That was the wrong thing to do. A fourth grade girl went up to a teacher in my presence and said, teacher, are you afraid of terrorism? And the teacher went, oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm not afraid. And, of course, you could hear it in her voice. What the teacher should have said at that point is, of course I'm afraid of terrorism. And, you know, that's why all of our military have put all of these people here to protect us. Has anything bad happened since they've done that? And the kid would go, no. How good of a job are we doing in protecting you?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid would probably say, a good. So the Socratic questioning is part of our job, sort of exploring the child's thinking.
I think that not everyone would answer in the way that that teacher did. And part of it is because parents are really frightened, too. They're extremely
yes.
anxious themselves. So what to do about that?
Well, a lot of adults believe that they mask their fear or anxiety from children. And children are hardwired to detect
yeah.
anxiety, fear, and danger in the presence of the adults. So if you lie about it, the children actually think the danger is worse than it is. And what the child is saying, are you noticing the same fearful thing I'm noticing? That's what they're saying to us. And so by responding in a kind of a thoughtful way of, here's the steps I'm taking to be safer for all of us.
That's very helpful, because essentially the child is seeing an adult act like an adult, which is not invincible, not a superhero, someone with concerns, but someone who can keep rational through a difficult situation.
Exactly. Exactly. Because we're, you know, danger has been part of human history for a very, very long period of time. The danger of predators is not from four-legged ones, but from two-legged ones. And so we have to teach our children in a calm way, in an adult way, how to manage that.
Developmental psychologist Dennis Embry runs the Paxis Institute in Tucson. It studies issues of child development and child safety. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.